Chapter 18 of Boats, Wine Fountains, and a Murder House.
Okay, how about a little free association? Boats you've owned.
In the period I was in Miami, I bought a 14-foot lousy sailboat. It wasn't really much of a sailboat. It was a El Cheapo. And I was so sore at NBC for this whole charade that when we moved our belongings back in a moving van, that sailboat was in that moving van, ended up on San Francisco Bay, and that's the sailboat that Burr Henneman and I went to visit Alcatraz on when it was occupied by the Indians. We put in at Alcatraz, and they shooed us off. We didn't stay. We just barely got our feet on the ground there when it was quite obvious that we had to leave.
I remember that boat. We went over to Angel Island, but I thought you bought that boat here. I didn't realize you shipped that thing.
Burr and I had another boat, a big 24-foot...
That's the one you bought here.
...sailboat that was a very classy.
Speaking of boats, you were building a catamaran in the garage for a while at Flint Street.
I beg your pardon. A trimaran.
What started that?
Well, this was in the very early days of when we were on Flint Street. I always had a hankering for sailing. I finally discovered that I could satisfy it by going on ocean cruises. But there was this guy over in Marin, Art Piver, who designed a three-hulled boat, which a catamaran has one pontoon hanging off one side. A trimaran has a complementary pontoon hanging off the other side so that it is symmetrical. There are two pontoons that hang out wide on the water with a main hull. The pontoons are used for storage, and the main hull is used for living quarters. I don't know how it all developed. I kind of suspect your sister, Joanna, had something to do with prodding me to build one of these things. She was fascinated with it. And we decided to build not one, but two trimarans, 21-foot trimarans, in the garage at Flint Street. Two was my escape valve. Bill Murray, who with Dave Roach was the contractor who built the house on Flint Street, was now living just up the street. A super, super handy guy with tools. He knew just about everything to know in putting things together, as big as a house or as little as a boat. I got Bill interested in having a trimaran. And so we were going to build two trimarans, and we were starting out with two main hulls. Well, that was an adventure that I don't have fond memories about. Working with fiberglass is the most annoying, irritating, impossible substance. And those hulls were wood with a fiberglass coating. I don't remember how long we spent building two hulls, but we got two hulls pretty well completed. And you know, just having the hull completed is a long way from having a sailboat. I gave up the gun, and so did Bill. He was tired of it too. We found people who bought those hulls who went on to build. Those hulls may be on the water somewhere because we sold the hulls.
I remember. So the fiberglass is why you ended up building a fountain in the backyard.
Probably.
One thing leads to another.
And my next door.
You built this waterfall fountain, and it was.
Well, it was pretty arty. I must say I regret that there are no photographs of that fountain, but there is a funny story. The neighbors all loved it. It just rode my tail into the ground over this monstrosity. It was big.
It was huge.
Huge. It covered an area, just figure the far right corner of the yard. That corner, if you made a triangle with a 6-foot line out, that was the size of the fountain. It began to be called Arno's Lourdes, L-O-U-R-D-S. And Raymond Hill, my mortician next door neighbor, finally did the capper on the whole thing. He put a crutch out there one night onto the fountain. And everyone's enthusiasm for the fountain got pretty soft after that.
Oh, God, that's hilarious. You were pretty creative. You made some things. Didn't you make beer for a while, and then you had your homemade beer party?
This was when we were at Flint Street. The entire street level was for garage parking and your mother's printing project. She had been working with Adrian Wilson and had a full flatbed press, a California job case loaded with the lead type, spread out all over the place. And the time had come where none of this made sense. We wanted the bottom part of this. It had been blocked in when the place had been built by Dave Roach so that we could put a second apartment down there. And this was the point at which we decided to do it. What we did was, after we cleared out everything, but before any of the construction began, we had a crab party. We got a whole lot of crab from Fisherman's Wharf, and it was during this time that I was making beer down there in 5-gallon vats. I had a lot of homebrew all ready to go, and we threw a goodbye printing and basement, hello new apartment party. We wanted music, and a good friend of mine, John Holmgren, played tenor sax. I played trumpet. His wife played the tuba. And I can't remember who played piano, but we had to have a piano. And I ended up buying an upright piano. It wasn't exactly in tune, but, you know, in jazz, as we used to say, it's close enough for A, meaning concert A, when you tuned up. We got by with it. That was one of the most successful parties I have ever thrown. Well, Joanna and I threw. There was crab galore in different ways, loads of French bread, and music and dancing. That was the end of that.
Oh, God. So I vaguely remembered that one. That was pretty good.
I've made several wine fountains. And the best one that I made was when we were living on Ashbury Street, and I was at KPIX. I had this lion's head, cast bronze lion's head, that had been on a church in Portugal some 100 plus years before. And when they tore down the church, the lion's head ended up in Rio in a memorabilia shop, or a junk shop, actually. And I bought that lion's head, I can't remember, for $3, I think, and ended up bringing it back home. And I still have it. It's a great lion's head with a great history. That head is older than me. We threw a party at Ashbury Street for all of KPIX News. That meant about 20 people. But actually, there was more than just KPIX News. There were people from NBC as well, from my NBC, KNBC days. And that there were several memorable events at that party. I rigged that lion's head up on the wall with a pump and a container to catch the flow, and loaded it with with red wine. That was stupid in the first place because it would have been a lot easier the next day if I had used white. But we had wine coming out of that lion mouth that entire evening, and all people had to do was walk over and put a glass under it. And it kept getting the refills from gallon bottles. That was highly successful. You were just a kid, but you were one of the bartenders. There was real booze at that party as well, both you and Stephanie.
Yeah.
And
I was fired really quickly when people didn't like my short pours.
Oh. Stephanie stayed on. She didn't have any problems.
So how'd you find that Ashbury Street house when we got back from Miami?
We came back from Miami, and we needed lodging, and the Flint Street house was rented. And for that, I'm glad, because that was the germ that made me a landlord. We decided that we ought to buy something. Joanna went down to the Board of Education in San Francisco. This is all within a day or two of our arrival back from Miami, scouting schools and school districts and quality of schools. And it was on the basis of the high school and the elementary school in the district where Ashbury Street was that was the main attraction that narrowed our search to the Haight-Ashbury. This is how come we ended up buying the house on Ashbury Street. It was because it was strategically located for schools, for you and Stephanie. We saw this for sale sign on the house, and we went to the agent that was handling it, and God, it looked attractive. There were four bedrooms, two baths,
yeah.
An in-law apartment in the basement, lots of room, two stories, one story up from the street, the two stories above that. And the price was so reasonable, $37,000. Well, it got me wondering, you know, there's got to be a reason for this because it was out of line with what real estate prices in the city were at the time. I went down to the Chronicle. I knew the whole gang at the Chronicle pretty well, including the people in the morgue. That's where they keep all the old newspaper items on file. And got them to search that address, that house. And they came up with what was the reason. That house had been sitting for sale for one solid year with no takers. It had been a notorious murder house. It had been a rooming house run by a landlady who was a lesbian and had a broken affair with one of her tenants in the bottom level, the one that you occupied subsequently. She had hacked up this other gal and put her in a suitcase and carted her off. Well, it was a pretty hot story. The Chronicle articles I wasn't around at the time. And they never found the body. And so she was convicted of something. I forget what it was, but not murder. They couldn't come up with the corpus delicti. She wasn't convicted, as a matter of fact, because the way this unfolded was she got drunk in a bar one night and laughingly told someone that she knows where there's a suitcase of body parts buried at the beach. And on the tip, somehow the cops got it and they dug up the suitcase and she was convicted of murder. But that brought the story up again, all over again. The house was not exactly what most people would want to live in. I like the price. We bought it.
Yeah, and here, this is just a little aside. You said that she hacked her up on a formica table that was still in the house. And when I didn't know that until I read this, and I ate on that table, thank you very much.
Ashes,
and I remember,
ashes, dust to dust.
No, but here's what's so funny, after I moved in to the apartment, somehow I can't, you were so funny. When we moved into that house, you didn't tell us until we moved in that it was a murder house. And you thought it was so hilarious, you Xeroxed the newspaper article. You had all these copies of the newspaper article. I didn't want to read it. I was very young and it scared the hell out of me. Well, it wasn't until I was living in the apartment I came across one of the articles and I read this whole thing about everything, how she killed her and all the personal affair.
On that 6-foot four mica table.
And it said something about a four mica table and I thought, wow, like this could be the one, but I'm pretty sure it's not. And it turns out it was the one.
It was the one. Let me tell an anecdote about Alioto because this is one of my fond memories of my parents. My mother and father were coming out to visit us in San Francisco when I was on KPIX and doing politics. Alioto, the mayor, and I became pretty chummy. At one point in the future, he was going to offer me the job of being his press secretary, which I turned down simply because I wanted to continue being a reporter. But my mother and father arrived at San Francisco Airport, and on the same plane was the archbishop of some small country in Europe. It may have been Greece, but it was the archbishop who was on the plane. And because of that, Alioto was at the airport, and we chatted for a while. My mother and father coming in. Yeah, we got the archbishop coming in. It was just a happy little group there, and the archbishop came off first with great pomp procedure. And Alioto greeted him to the city of San Francisco, a big to-do. The archbishop left, and my mother and father were just about the last people off the plane, and came down, and Alioto saw them and went over to them and said, I want to tell you a few things about your son. He is the best reporter in all of San Francisco. He does things you wouldn't believe. He's so good and so smart, you ought to be so proud of him. And this went on for something like 2 minutes. And then they said goodbye to me and my mother and father, and they left. And my mother looked at me and said, who's your friend? And I said, that's the mayor of San Francisco, Mayor Alioto. And my mother kind of shrugged. And my father said to her, he's the Lindsay out here. Mayor Lindsay of New York, she knew.
They weren't impressed?
Oh, yeah. They were absolutely floored when it all came up. But I'll never forget the line. Who's your friend?
Who's your friend? That's hilarious. I can't believe you didn't pretend that he was out there just to greet him, them.
Well, they thought so.
Oh, God. That's nice. I remembered when they visited.
This concludes Chapter 18.